Shut up. The foot is on Triple M. It's time.
This is what we've been waiting for.
Time for the Saturday run.
We're ready to go here.
Ahead of your Triple M footy triple header.
For the Ford Ranger, the truck that's best on ground and off it. Work smarter, play harder.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
We're at the Richard Marsland Studios here in South Melbourne for an hour and a half for the best entertainment you'll find on a Saturday. And I'll tell you why you'll find that entertainment, because of the people in this room. Bill Brownless.
Hello, Jim.
I think coming off, and I say this with reservation, yeah. I think coming off your worst broadcasting week in your life.
Why do you say that?
Because this week on the Rush Hour, extraordinarily poor.
No, I think I've been good and lovely to be here. Looking forward to today's game.
Are you?
Who's playing? Well,
that's just a snapshot, Damo, of what I've had to put up with for the week.
I've been listening to your show in the afternoon. I reckon when you say he's in his worst career behaviour, I reckon the show's in its best form.
Only because he's got no idea what's going on or what he's about to say.
When you're in the car, it actually sounds okay, but when you're here live, it does a bit weird.
You can understand, Duck, how bad it actually feels for all of us. Hello to you, Bristle.
You've been good, Brian.
Hello, Bill.
Roaming Brian, good last night.
There was a pre-roamer.
It's moving into half time 2 weeks ago, announcing it's a pre-match.
Pre-match roaming.
It's getting ridiculous, isn't it? We've got pre-game, we've had the media roam, we've had the post-game.
Oh, Brian, too much.
Everything.
Going up, Bill, last night to players as they're warming up and preparing and talking to them.
I didn't see that one. I was watching the cricket, which was a lot better to watch. But I did see after the game, and you went up to, who was it, Lewis Melick, and you got the record out and just checked out his first name. It's Lewis.
I have no idea. Because as a commentator, you always call him by the surname.
But you
don't know the Christian names.
Row Bottom and the family, that was nice, Brian. You actually knew your niece's names, which was good. That was impressive.
When I was naming them, I wasn't 100% sure. I thought, is that them?
No, well done. You did that well.
But that must be a bit of the issue with the Roma for you, Amran.
Choose the names.
When you're dealing with the likes of the Melica, not in the top drawer, is he? So you're not expected to know much.
Who did you put on the spot the other day or last week that you're introducing his family and he didn't know his family's name?
Yeah, that's right.
Who was that?
I don't know, but that happens a lot. And I'm heading up and some tosser from Sydney's trying to get me to go and talk to the family.
Who was that bloke last night that grabbed you and said, meet the
family? It was young Daniel Howe. And you said, well, introduce me to you. And he goes, I don't know.
I also saw, Bristle, pre-match that you wandered up to my nephew who was being rubbed down and he started claiming that he was at the sharp end of the intellectual spectrum.
Scale, yeah.
Which that's is real unusual. Flog stuff.
But I do remember one time where, you're sort of never quite sure whether people know each other and how well they know their club. And David Armitage hadn't played in this particular game, and I walked up to him and he was out with a hamstring. I said, Army, he'll be back next week. Yeah, he'll be back next week. And he was standing with three guys in suits. I thought, he knows these three.
Dangerous territory.
I said, Armour, introduce us to your mates here. And he looked at me blankly, and I went, names?
Yeah.
And he said, I don't know. And they were three board members of
Central.
No wonder he hasn't played since.
That's right.
he was obviously just working
that up. That was better than the game.
No.
What about the game? What about Melbourne, mate? Is that's their worst loss of
the
year?
We are speaking to Maxi Gawn shortly, so we can talk about that. Dane Zorko going to join us as well, Matty Scarlett, and we're also going to discuss us all getting the lemonade and sauce during our illustrious careers. And Bill, I'm especially going to focus on you and the conversation you had with Ayrsy.
He can get stuffed. How many times did you get sacked?
I don't think I ever got sacked.
Oh, Brian.
No,
I don't think you did, Bill. He just stormed out of the two clubs he was
in. So you never got sacked?
Leave before.
Did you, Damo? Do you ever get sacked at any of the...
Fortunately not, no.
Wow. Duck, you wouldn't have got sacked.
Well, I know whether I did a pop-off in the factory.
You did what?
A pop-off.
farted?
Yeah.
Oh,
and the guy said to me, that's disgusting. I'll go and see the boss. And the boss was Peter DeRouche,
who
just happened to be. I said, well, you go and see the boss and we'll find out who gets sacked.
Wasn't you.
It wasn't me.
Well, what about in the footy field? You wouldn't have got sacked. Except for that time when you and your brother had 48 pots of beer. It was on the Herald's the front page.
You love bringing that up.
We will get to that.
There were drawings of the glasses.
The whole front page for four rows of him and Dick.
And it was like one, two, three, four, and then a stroke across. And it was probably underplayed too.
Yeah, exactly.
We will get to the stories about getting sacked later on, but it wasn't a great game of footy. And we did say, Purple, that Travis Ohl, back in August last year, when he penciled this game in for a Friday night, would not have expected it to be 15-17.
Nah.
But that's what we got.
We had the problem last year and the year before with Carlton sort of occupying some Friday night slots they hadn't earned, and we just thought this was a surefire one, didn't we, at the start of this year. And given the bookmakers actually installed the Melbourne
side as favourites. It is a good point for the rotating round, I reckon, for three rounds out.
Yeah,
five's too many because, you know, five, that you're still deciding what's happening with the eight. But I reckon three rounds out, you can run into dead rubbers from three rounds out. You can't from five rounds out.
And do you think it'll happen, BT? They are talking about it, aren't they?
I do think it'll happen.
It could definitely happen.
You were just talking about rounds 21, 22, 23. Yes. Yeah. Look, I think there's enough flexibility within clubs at this stage of the year. I mean, Melbourne just wants the season to finish. So they would have been happy to have been hidden in a Sunday 1 o'clock slot, I would have thought, on the back of what they've done this year.
Have you three heard from James Warburton? Yep.
Good point, Bill. Really good point.
Duck and Brian and Jim.
Why?
He's a new boss of Seven.
Massive story, this.
Yeah, big story. Yeah. And I'm just wondering who got a call out of you three. Jim didn't get one as of yesterday.
No, certainly nothing.
I think Hamish has got one. Brian, have you had one from James, the new boss?
You would have called him.
Nothing.
You would have gone into his office. And Duck?
No, haven't had a call.
Ooh, it's a massive spanner in the works of all the negotiations.
isn't it?
They've all been buttering up Tim Warner for 2 years now. All those plans are out the window now, Bill.
I am surprised to hear, or not surprised to hear, but happy to hear that there's talks underway for an extension of the current deal, which sort of surprised me. Yeah. And I think that sort of makes sense because there's probably not a lot of, there's not a lot of competition at the moment.
Yeah.
And I think they're waiting for that competition to arrive.
It's a genuine concern at all levels of the industry about what does come in money-wise in the next broadcast rights. And if they're trying to extend what is currently in place with Seven, I can see why they would want to, if it was maintained to the levels that it is for this deal.
So no call.
I was at another place when there was a change of person at the top.
Nine.
And I probably should have realised, Damo, that things weren't going to go all that well.
Yeah.
Jim? I had a very good relationship, Bristol, with the previous boss. Right. And then the new one came in and I ran into him a couple of times and on about three occasions during those times.
He didn't take to you?
No.
Just referred to me as mate.
Mate.
How's it going, mate? Are you everything all right, mate?
You're only hosting.
And I thought to myself, I don't really see a lot of future. As things turned out, I was 100%
you're
wrong.
Bill, you've witnessed this closer, as we all have to a point, but what do you think is going to happen out of this because of the relationship removal with Tim Warner?
Well, they were very close, and especially Brian, who does go and visit him and talks to him a lot. So this is interesting. It's all a new clean slate now. So with James. And
the race starts again, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. And Brian will be in there Monday, I reckon, and Jim will put in a call. Duck will sit back.
Well, James is in Sydney, of course, Bill. That's where head office
so
for
Tim.
Seven is.
You'll fly up there. And, no doubt about that. You and Tanya will go up there.
Told what to do. And
Tanya will go up there with your stopwatches and sit down and have a chat to him.
Bill, Tanya doesn't like you saying that.
She loves it.
She wouldn't have a clue about it.
As I said to you on the rush hour, when you tried this same thing, Fat, as a cyclist, I'm well back in the peloton, just tucked in the middle of the peloton and doing the teamwork.
I've watched you over the journey.
I'm doing the teamwork.
You are one of the great political animals, Jim.
You
do it in a way that you think none of us realise, but you're always greasing up that food.
There is a new leader, Hamish. He's a new leader.
With the Brownlow medal?
Yeah, well.
You reckon that was
made? That's helped. And then with James. Yeah.
Yellow jersey, never on me, Fat. Just a team rider.
Let's
move on. What else is happening in footy?
Have a listen.
Let's move
on. We've got it, Bill.
We got him.
Keep going now.
Come on. Let's move on.
I'll tell you what we are
people
doing.
People aren't interested in this
stuff. Is at the end of today, when we're done entertaining people's afternoon.
What do we got?
We go to the Gabba. for one of the games of the season, 1v2.
Massive.
Huge. How big is it?
Well, Geelong have won the last eight and won by an average of 55 points. So they've had the wood on Brisbane. This is a totally different Brisbane side. They're exciting. They kick goals and very good midfield.
28 and sunny today, Bill, in Brisbane. Mm. So that's a concern for the Cats for me. You just think they obviously train in it. It's been warm. And they've been so good. It's a fortress now again for Brisbane.
It is. A good test for the Cats, who were better last week. And they've just got to keep building.
Well, we can't wait for it. And, got a massive game tomorrow as well with West Coast and Richmond. But last night, Melbourne, it has been a train wreck. We can't call it anything else.
No, that's exactly what it is. Look, we spoke on the Friday night huddle, Jim, to Simon Goodwin pre-match, and he went into that game last night very aware of where they were at. So we'll just reflect on that and then get him post-match, but this is pre-match on Triple M.
Yeah, look, it's been a challenging year without question. You know, to be in the prelim last year and to obviously have the challenges that we've had through the pre-season and to see how it's played out in season, it's reinforced, you know, a lot of the philosophy of, you know, when I came into coaching about what's really important in the game. And there's no question myself as coach and we as a club got things wrong through the summer and through the early part of the year, and it's just snowballed and we've been chasing our tail ever since. So it's been an incredible learning year for me personally. In saying that, it's been a challenging year, but you know, in a few weeks' time, and you know, in 6 weeks' time, everyone will be back to square one, and we'll start from scratch again.
So the learnings were there, obviously, well, long before last night, and then post-match, the responsibility word came out in Simon Goodwin.
Without question, it's been a challenging year, but at the same time, it's probably been one of my biggest learnings in coaching, and it's reinforced the things that we need to get right, and I take responsibility for that. I sit here in a team that's 17th on the ladder, and I take responsibility for where we sit, but it's reinforced the things that I know we need to get right. And I'll learn from that experience, I'll learn from where we got to and where we are now, and it's hurting me greatly because I know how much the Melbourne supporters want us to be great, and my mission is to make that our club the greatest club we can possibly be.
As you say, Jim, it has been a car crash. It cannot come quick enough at the end of this season for them, and I think the fear now is that maybe until 6 weeks ago, BT, we thought that they just get through the year, they can regroup, reset, and then resume what happened in 2018. But so, I think they've done enough damage now to put that into jeopardy as well.
Yeah, we were talking about this last night, Duck, and it raises it's a simple question. Is what we see of Melbourne this year real, or is what we saw last year real? Which one is the real Melbourne? Which one do we expect to see resurface next year?
It is a great question, and I've thought about it over the week and actually wrote about it. And I think that Melbourne are closer to last year. I think they can bounce back very quickly.
But why, Duck? Why?
I'll tell you why, because they'll get a soft draw next year for finish 7-8. So it's automatic they're going to be better. They'll get a good draft pick. And I can't see – everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. There has been – I reckon we counted, BT, three or four players – on their list that have been better or equal to what they've done before. All the rest have gone backwards. So,
and I'm surprised you've got to four. There's reasons. Max Gorn one
of those. Give Max Gorn.
Who else are you putting in there?
Fritsch. Okay. Fritsch, definitely. Yeah. I think Petrarca's just a little bit better than what he was before. So there might be one other. But look, they've it's all in front of them. The one thing that I do know, I think that they are capable. I do believe Simon Goodwin's incredibly resilient. I think they'll have a massive pre-season, and I think we will see the real Melbourne next year. I think they'll play finals next year.
Hey, Purple, for me, after a wobbly start, after a wobbly first month, they, as a football club, became obsessed with what they can't do. Right. And completely forgot what they do well.
Yeah. And
completely forgot about it.
So are you saying that is a little bit about coaching?
100%. I think the coaching group became obsessed with we can't defend, we don't run to, all of this sort of stuff.
Yep.
And they forgot what was giving opposition coaches sleepless nights.
Yeah.
And that was Max Gorn, Oliver, Brayshaw, explosive around stoppages.
So they've already done some work in that area.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've already heard that two people in that coaching setup won't be there next year's result. Are we expecting more?
Yeah, well, I would now. Yeah. And the resistance, at least in a public presentation sense, has been around a review of an independent nature. I don't think they're being a proper footy club if they don't now have
well,
a proper...
Well, Craig Jennings is gone. Brendan McCartney's gone.
He's gone as well.
Craig Jennings. Was that a surprise?
That was your...
Yeah, your man,
he's,
Brian.
He's gone.
Is that a surprise?
Well, he wants to pursue coaching in his own right.
So he took off, did he?
I'm not sure left. The way it worked, but that's what it's been presented as.
From Glenn Bartlett, the chairman, down to Gary Pirrott, the CEO, and even down to Simon Goodwin, I feel they would benefit, Jim, from someone cold coming in to have a look at their operations because...
Yep. Well, they're trying to get Alan Richardson, aren't they?
Yeah,
they are, but that's not going to fix it. I mean, you can bring Alan Richardson in, that's fine, but that's not in isolation going to improve where they've managed to slot
it. It depends what role they bring him in. If it's a development role, because I think that's the role that's probably stagnated. Duck just said there haven't been many of them and have actually improved this year in their own individual games, and maybe Richo can work on that particular area. If it's going to be higher than that as a more of an overseer, then that's a different role. Yep.
Well, when you spend your whole time worrying about stopping the opposition and you don't spend enough time worrying about what you do well, you can end up galloping away from you. That's what I reckon's happened in Melbourne. So Melbourne playing host to the Swans last night, Friday night football, down by 53 points, and they are now 17th on the ladder and cannot move from that spot. So the good news from that point of view for the Demons is they will get the second pick of the draft, and that is a very good kid as we understand it, unless the commission do something that I think is unthinkable and hand a priority pick to the Gold Coast Suns. That surely can't happen.
No.
Hello, Damon.
I was going to be asked for, Jim.
Well, of course it's going to be asked for, but surely it doesn't happen. They don't give picks one and two to the Gold Coast.
No, I reckon the priority pick might lob somewhere in the middle of the first round.
Yeah. Simon Goodwin came out during the week and said that's old stuff now, priority pick.
Simon
funny
Goodwin,
enough.
I'd be saying the same
when
thing.
You want. Yeah. Welcome back, Brian.
Well, I've just been... Hey. In the ad break, Bill.
Who was it, Bill?
Oh, I just saw Lewis Martin on his phone went there when he went out.
Fat. We're getting to Max Gawn, who joins us from the Melbourne Football Club. And it's great chatting to a man who's had a very, very good season and is at the sharp end of footy in this caper. Maxie, welcome to you.
Afternoon, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, tell us from your point of view how you're feeling. You've got one round left. As I said, you can't move from 17. A long way from, obviously, a prelim last year. But your own form, you must be pleased with, even though the team's gone the way it's gone.
Day after games have been pretty grim this year. And today's no exception. It was pretty hard waking up this morning and unfortunately, I had to ice my hamstring last night as well. I don't think I've done it, but I had to stay up all night and they rained out the cricket, so I couldn't even watch the cricket while last night, which is a bit unfortunate. But in terms of where I'm thinking, we've still got a game to go, and it's a pretty important game because our last 5 years, albeit last year was a prelim, but our last game has been horrible. And it sets yourself for a really bad off-season and a really bad pre-season when that's your last game. And there's been a relatively good rivalry building with North Melbourne. They won 17 in a row there, and now we've won the last two. So hopefully we can get our little roll against them.
So, Maxie, contrast this day to a year ago. You were storming into a prelim. You'd had this extraordinary two-month tear, really, where Melbourne were the hottest team in the comp. And what's changed? What's different?
A lot's changed. Obviously, we're sitting 17th on the ladder, but... last year I found that our contest and our contested ball got us out of games, got us out of tricky situations, and once we got to finals, that brand seemed to be the brand that stood up. So this year, unfortunately, our contest hasn't been able to cover our holes in our offence and defence, and we've been opened up, not as much defensively, but definitely offensively we haven't been able to score. And like last night, again, we won the inside 50 count, which is a pretty irrelevant stat for us because we've won that about 15 times this year. So there's a lot of things to work on, and probably can't wait to get stuck into it to learn what we're doing wrong and try and work on some things going into next year.
Has it become a bit negative in the stoppage situation with your joint? Because and I know you're a humble man, Maxie, so I'll say it for you. You've got the best ruckman in the comp and the best first-hand ruckman in the comp, so then you can get Oliver, Brayshaw, Harms to go to work. But it looks to me like there's a lot of arm across and a lot of worrying about what Kennedy, for instance, last night was doing, rather than saying to your blokes, get on the fly and hunt the footy.
There's a bit of that. You got to be mindful of Kennedy, Parker, Hewitt, these sort of guys are tremendous stoppage players. So if you give them no respect, they will go back and hurt you the other way. Look, our midfield's been, we are sitting 17th, our midfield's been relatively competitive in most games. So it's probably our strength at the moment, and we just got to work on some of the other areas. But there was definitely elements last night where we probably should have been a bit more aggressive and attacked the body a little bit more and tried to utilise the advantage that we had in the ruck, but it didn't seem to work.
Tough times, Maxie. What do you do to stick together and just try and have a bit of fun now and then?
You got to try and have fun. Game day is ideally the time you want to have fun, yes. But at the moment that's not happening, Bill. So, it's hard if you want to focus on the negatives or focus on the positives. I'm not sure which way is better to get yourself out of a slump.
Yeah.
There's obviously a lot of negatives that can come from a game, but there's also some positives and goodies sort of switched around each week, whether to go hard on us or whether to say some stuff is going well, and both ways that he's doing it seems to not be working. But we'll get down to watch the VFL boys tomorrow, which can bring a smile to some faces because they're a chance to play finals if they win this week. So hopefully we can go out and watch some footy down in Frankston. Not a bad place to watch footy.
Hey, Maxie, I want you to take us into the middle of the ground last night. You know you're up against a guy like Alir. You know you're going to get your hands to the ball first. Who makes the calls where you hit it? Who's the guy, which midfielder? Or is that a case of you saying, I'll put it here because you understand who you're up against?
I've done a lot of study over set of bounce over the last 2 years because it is a vital part of the ground to win the ball. And going into most games, I sort of know what other teams want to try and do. So I try and take a bit of a leadership role there and work out what we're trying to do. Unfortunately, hasn't gone well, so I don't know why I'm putting my name to it. But we always talk as a four before every centre bounce, recap what happened the last one and see where we can get them the next time. And to be honest, some of it worked last night, but some of it didn't as well. And I didn't think anything worse of Alir because he hasn't roughed. Alir and Sam Reid are probably their two best players over 6 foot, so I knew I was still in for a pretty tough battle.
Max, you've always presented to the public as someone who does deeply analyse the wider game, and obviously part of that is your own role in it. Just going back to your thoughts when you were sitting on the bench last night with another loss about to become official. I know you were referring before to having a hamstring issue as well, but can I just get you to go back to the thoughts at that moment and how demoralising this entire season has been in the context of a round 22 match going the way it was?
I've said it's extremely grim at the moment in terms of the day after games and straight after the game. That's usually the best part of the week, especially when you win that sort of time. So it's extremely disappointing, and there's not many words I can say that are going to put smiles to Melbourne members' faces, but no one wants to be in this position, and I can tell you we're trying everything we can to get through it. And I'm not ready for the footy season to end because I haven't got the joy that I wanted out of 2019. So the one game to go thing makes me a little bit more upset. I kind of want another 10 games to go to be able to find some form and leave on a good note, but that's not going to happen. So it is really disappointing, Damo, but I know there's another year coming up, and the more we think about how bad this year is, the more far behind we are to starting next season.
And again, Maxie, I know you're not one to isolate your own situation away from the group, but are you partially proud of how you've stood up this year? And I suppose by extension, are you disappointed with some around you who haven't?
I think a lot of people have still stood up this year in some really tough times in terms of leadership and backing up each week, even though things aren't going well for them. So I'm real proud of some of the players in that case. But I do all I can throughout off-seasons and pre-seasons to make sure I'm fit and ready to go. And to be honest, I was as fit as I can this pre-season, and I was probably the only one that could put my hand up and say that because of the amount of injuries we had and whatnot, and that hasn't helped us. So I can be as fit as possible, but I've got to bring some teammates along with me, and that's my leadership role, and making sure that the whole 45 players are ready to go rather than just myself. And that's the area I'll be looking at going into this preseason.
What's on for today, please, Maxwell? Beside the Rezzies, you just a nice little restaurant somewhere?
Coffee.
Coffee somewhere?
Yeah, I'll be. I actually don't know. I'm coming to the club just to suss out how my hamstring is. It's not that bad, so I might actually delve into some lunch.
Good.
And maybe go down and watch some local footy. A few boys used to play at D's or at South Croydon, so I might go down and watch them.
Well, speaking on behalf of Goldie, just be conservative with that hammy, I reckon, Maxie. Yes. You wouldn't want to just redo it in the last round?
Well, I would be very excited to see Braden Prusey Goldie as well.
Yes.
I think I've got a big decision on my hands if I just let Prusey at him.
Nice. I know it's been a very disappointing year, but your own form's been outstanding, all Australian. You've got to think again. So congratulations on that front.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well done, Max
Gorn, star of the comp. Absolute star. Let me just ask you this, Duck. You were one of the best captains, or if not the best captain in footy in your time. Have they got the leadership right at Melbourne? You've got Nate Jones and Jack Viney.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think if you were talking about those two guys last year, you say yes. Clearly, neither have had great years this year. And it's very easy to sit there and go, well, the leadership's not great. Jonesy, I think, should play on. And I've said that. Not as captain. Right, yeah. I think play your last year, or well, your last couple of years, if things go well next year, not having that burden. And Jack Viney, for me, I don't know what it is about Jack. We know that he's tough. We know that he's hard. He's that type of leader that leads by example on the ground. He's a hard trainer, we know. Just tries to break too many tackles. He's trying to run through rather than get the ball and give it and be that side, that type of leader, set it up.
Yeah.
But, look, you can't question the way he goes about
it. Could that man we just spoke to be the captain of the club?
Yes, he could.
That's a good question.
Yes, he could. And if Nath says, well, and I think he will, I think that's a decision.
Free him up a bit.
Free him up. He'll play on next year, and I think he should. And by the way, they should pay him for, you know, maybe a little bit better than below the average wage, because I think he's better than that. Like I said, his year has been a reflection of the whole team. So Maxie Gorn certainly could step in and be that, I guess, if they want the co-captain model, which I don't agree with. I think it's an easy way out. I never have. But if they want to do that, Maxie's an obvious replacement.
Well, as the old enforcer always says, a big man should be your captain.
Well,
he always says, you want a big man as your captain.
When I was playing at Geelong, we had four captains.
Oh, hello, Bill.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That four.
Ridiculous.
What, in the 1 year?
In the 1 year.
In 1 year. A lot of good games this weekend, last night.
No doubt.
And Melbourne went in favourites. Gee, they were poor.
They were shocking.
Well, as I say, you've got to feel for Travis Old, because when you do it back in August, you just don't know come this time of the year what the clubs are going to be looking like. And you would have thought you could bank Melbourne and Sydney. Now, let's do a bit of news. Yep. Jordan Lewis, speaking of what's going on.
Yeah, that's a good place to start, Jim, because it seemed to be second last game of footy last night. Jared Ruffhead was in attendance, and Buddy Franklin seemed to make a point of speaking to him pre-match. So
wasn't a lot of carry on.
No, there wasn't.
And for the first time, all of his family were there.
Were they? Okay, yeah. See, I think it seems to have been heading for some time that it would be his last game. Simon Goodwin, though, post-match, just wasn't quite giving up all information on that.
You know, they're the discussions that we're having all the time with Jordan. I'm sure that'll come out in due course, you know, what his decisions are. I'm not going to sit here tonight and fill you in. We've had ongoing discussions over a long period of time. So I'm sure when Jordan's ready, he'll let everyone know what's going on.
So there's going to be a heap of announcements over the next week or so with regards to what happens next year. We've already had a heap, Jim. Brett Deledio was one who went public yesterday with the decision that this would be his last year. Injured currently, might still get back if GWS goes deep, but it seems unlikely. And obviously Daisy Thomas Duck as well, announcing his
retirement. Yeah, he's probably the big surprise out of them all.
And he wasn't happy either.
No, I thought he was. I thought
definitely another year.
Yeah, I thought definitely another year. I think he's had a great year. He looks like his body. He's finally got right.
Yeah.
And he's, but anyway, that's a surprise.
He
but
said
in
that.
Terms of all the others, I think
they're obvious. So is it worth someone else picking him up or not?
It's a good question. You're probably not going to pick someone up for a year or two, but if you're already at the club.
What about the
and
Gold
his
Coast?
Leadership.
Gold Coast.
Well, Gold Coast might be that might be a good point, Bill. Yeah.
Whether he wants to. And look, what I have always liked about Daisy, he's been pretty true to himself the whole way through. And even in this retirement address, was able to refer to an issue that's got him into trouble in the past.
Also to Penfolds, they've been a great sponsor of mine. It's a bit of a Bit of a joke. Can't sack me twice.
Just in case no one knew.
Nearly as good as the retirement speech of Scott Thompson down there at North when he said, as a kid, I would give me left nut to play this game.
Yeah. But then when I nearly lost it, I realised it's not worth it.
A couple of Freo Dockers who I think are worthy of a bit of a quick chat to in Hayden Ballantyne and also Aaron Sandilands, who will also go out. And you saw the way Ross Lyon spoke about the impact those two have had. And you look at that club's still relatively short history in the AFL. They've been as synonymous with what's happened to them in a positive way as anyone.
Both of those guys, though, in all honesty, haven't played a lot of footy over the last few years. To last this long, I think Ross and the footy club have looked after them. So they're no surprise.
270 games, Sandy. Mm. It's a really good effort. I just ask, who carries him off?
Four-time All-Australian.
Who would carry him off? Because he's a big, big
If you look at all the retirees over this weekend who have all announced it, and I'm assuming Jordan, I don't know how many Lewis has played, but they're all around that 270.
High 280.
Yeah, 270, 280, all around that same mark.
It just gets
it must be that magic. That magical number is, and you know, you look at Richo was around that same number. It's, it just awesome. Seems to be, if you have a long career, that's around where you're at. About right.
Yeah. One who will go on is Cade Simpson. And ultimately, Carlton had to make a decision of sorts around allowing one of Simpson and Thomas to go on. And it's Simpson for reasons that relate to his entire career being played there and still being in more than okay form. BT.
And his kicking ability, I reckon, probably. Yeah.
So he will. Look, they've got to dot some I's and cross some T's on the deal, but he will go on
Isn't
in 2020.
Amazing? A lot of the blokes who go well after 300 have never pulled a weight over their head in their whole life, have just got these enduring bodies.
Boomer
did. Boomer was different. Tuck. But you look at Tuck, you look at Dusty
all
Fletcher.
All string beans.
Yeah, they're just natural football bodies, aren't they?
Wiry. Really wiry. Wiry.
No, absolutely. Braden Sire, let's just move on a little bit. What's going on there?
Fascinating story. And I think everyone's probably caught up with it now. But for those who haven't, played on Monday night in a Division 3 suburban basketball competition under the pseudonym bill of Phil In. And
which is clever.
It's very clever.
Clever name.
But what wasn't clever was not coming clean when asked by the club on the back of Mitch Cleary asking the club what happened in this situation. And that's now his bigger problem because there's a continuation of questionable activities when it comes to Braden Sire just presenting himself as a professional athlete. There are issues even after the grand final. Duck, you go back to the final series last year, looked at home at the MCG in that entire period.
Probably shouldn't have worn the Collingwood tracksuit to the basketball game.
No, it didn't help. Hey, what would Jeff Walsh do, the football manager at Collingwood? How would he go about it, Jim?
Oh, my. He would have. I'm tipping he would have seen him in the corridor.
Yeah.
And he would have said, get in here.
Right.
And
in
then
those
he
words?
He would have shut the door, but it wouldn't needed to have been shut because the whole building would have heard what happened next.
So do you reckon his position under threat as a result?
No, I don't, BT, but it's a worry, and I don't know how many chances he's got left. I reckon they'll go with him again. They've put a deal to him of sorts, but they've been really concerned about it. And the way Nathan Buckley spoke, it was a genuine disappointment that he's let them down yet again.
Damo, the thing that I find astounding is the amount of young people that go, oh, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
He just played a game of basketball. And you go, well, it's not the game of basketball. It's the fact that he lied to the club.
That's the bigger issue.
But young people just don't factor that in.
Yeah.
They don't see that as having done the wrong thing. Mm. It's like someone asks you a direct question as to what you did and you chose to lie.
Yeah.
That's the much bigger concern that the whatever they're called, millennial generation, just think, well, that's all right.
But you know,
clever tweet from the former 36.
It was.
Well, good to see that, you know, my legacy is...
But you know why that is, Jim? Because the kids of today lie.
Of course, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And they don't have any issue with doing it, which is a bit of... Sam Murray.
Yeah, that's a more serious issue at Collingwood. He's now provisionally served a ban that is now already 12 months. He fronted the anti-doping AFL tribunal on Thursday. And as such, within a fortnight to 3 weeks, we'll know exactly and officially the sanction they'll hand down. Given he's already served 1 year and the maximum is 4, it's all possibilities on the table. But just the way we hear it, Jim, coming out of it, it's going to be mitigated. Well,
it could well be mitigated down. And there could be a scenario where he plays footy and is able to play footy again next year. That would be in the two-year range for the traces of cocaine that were found in his system on a test in late July last year.
Nick Natanui, does he play footy again this year?
They're quietly optimistic. We won't know until the week leading into that first final, which will most likely be a qualifying final for the Eagles. They will wait until the Monday or Tuesday of that week to give him the proper let's check you out if you're up for a return. It's gone exceedingly well to this point since he had the syndesmosis problem, BT.
Yep. Let's hope he plays. So, yeah. We need the superstars involved in September. Speaking of superstars, Buddy Franklin,
yeah,
300.
Still unknown. John Longmire didn't commit to a return this week, which would be Buddy Franklin's 300th. I know Buddy's been working toward this round 23 game as that moment. I think he wants to get the fanfare out of the way this year so he can go into next year without
what about
that.
A little bit of, what about a little bit of theatre and just say, no, get my body right. You don't want him to get injured again.
I reckon
again.
There's no chance.
And then Hawthorn-Sydney round one next year.
I spoke to Tom Harley after the game, and he didn't fill me with any hope that he's any chance to play.
No, he didn't.
In fact, he more or less said he wasn't.
Did he?
Well, in a sort of a roundabout way, but I reckon I agree with Duck. This has got much more appeal for everyone involved as a round one fixture next year.
You don't reckon? Look, they play in Sydney next week, which will be, they'll get the numbers there.
St Kilda.
I reckon he'll be all right playing at home, getting a big crowd for the last game.
He certainly wanted to, BT. He's prepared and trained pretty well, by all reports, by his standards anyway, in the past couple of weeks.
David Teague is the full-time coach of the Blues.
Yeah, well, we might just have a listen to what Chris Judd said last night, Jim, on the Friday huddle. He hadn't been able to say anything of any note, Juddy, as we know, Duck, for about 6 weeks now after he had a little little kerfuffle with some words he initially used around David Teague.
Good
but
word,
gave an insight into how they eventually got to David Teague being their man.
It was pretty unique because we've got him under our own roof, so we're obviously able to watch him specifically tactically-wise much deeper than you'd be able to watch another coach going for the job. And yeah, we did. We all had about an hour and a half, or some people had 3 hours with him individually. He presented to the entire board twice, went through all sorts of profiling and really extensive, thorough process. But most importantly, we feel we've got the right coach and the players are wrapped, and as is the club, and you know, hopefully we can really build from here.
When was it you knew?
I think by the time the Adelaide game had happened, personally, it started to look then it was going to be really hard to look past, not because of the results so much, but the way we were playing. But in a way, that West Coast game was almost more impressive because of the players we had out, even at the last minute, were so significant. And just seeing the way he was able to handle that, not hold on to that as an excuse and still manipulate things mid-game.
And also, too, as part of all that discussion, there were effectively 9 official interviews amongst the entire mix there with David Teague.
Nine,
yeah.
That's a lot.
It is.
Why would you need 9 interviews?
Well, that's the number that Juddy settled on in terms of how many times you were. What he also did say, and he didn't put a number on it, but he did use the word lot. A lot of other candidates were interviewed as well. He didn't want to put a number on it officially. He didn't want to obviously give up identities for obvious reasons.
How many you reckon?
I'm pretty taken with his word at that, Bill, and I would think in the context of that process, I'd think a lot would be at least 6.
Gee.
The way you said it.
Interest to me is the whole change, Bristle, in what assistant coaches are going to do in this space from now on.
Yeah.
In the old days, they would avoid being the interim coach like the plague because they would think it's a poison chalice and there's no way they would then get the main job. If Brett Ratton is the coach of St Kilda, that is all 3 interim coaches will end up with the senior job, and maybe from now on assistants will go about it a different way.
Yeah, probably. And I've just given up. Like, you know, how do we know? Like, you know, when Alistair Clarkson took over as coach, no one would have thought that this could possibly happen, that he turns out to be one of the greatest. You know, so when Teague takes, I was all against this probably weeks ago, but I've learned to live with it now, thinking, well, how do we actually know how good David Teague? Unless we're there, unless we're in amongst it, unless results work his way, unless he has a good run with injury.
Unless he gets a chance.
Unless he gets a chance. Yeah. We just don't know.
So you've changed, Brian.
Keep putting Voss and all of these guys in, and, you know, you sort of half know what you get because we've seen them a little bit.
Yeah.
But who knows? I just give up and say, well, the club knows best. You know, they're the ones taking the risk, not me. So let them do it and see what happens.
We won't.
Not everyone can win. Not everyone can win every year. We know that. So, you know, there's always going to be some factors that
round 10 next year.
44 games, Bill.
Yeah,
really.
Is that what you're saying?
I reckon
2 years.
2 years will tell you whether all 3 of them can coach or not. If it is Brett Ratton who ends up.
But I reckon some coaches that don't even make the top end, it doesn't mean they can't coach.
I agree.
Yeah. They could have bad lists. They could have bad management around them. You know, there could be a whole host of other reasons, but they could still be a good coach.
Injuries.
I just hope the one thing, and I learned this from Paul Roos only a few years ago when he was working on Triple M, and he was talking about when he went to Melbourne. He was able to bring a team. If you look at the guys that have taken over recently and have been, like Bolton's a prime example, Stewie Jew's the other one. They go to a club, and they're not allowed to bring their own people. Mm. At least these interim coaches, BT, they have relationships already at the club. They're already off to a better start. Teague's already off to a better start than what Bolton was.
Yep.
Mm. Because Bolton's coming into the club, no relationships, anything. Teague's got relationships with everyone there already. Mm. So you're already ahead. Now, if he obviously will pick a couple of assistants, I would assume. He'd be able to do that, people that he wants around him. And then he's off to a flyer.
Right.
It's completely different to guys like Bolton and Jude who don't have that ability to do that.
We've still got some big guests to come, including Dane Zorko. We're going to a massive game up in Brisbane. He is going to be playing in the game. Looking forward to chatting to him, Matty Scarlett as well. But amazing career with the Cats, Bill. 198 games.
Not really.
And the four grand finals.
Yes.
And they didn't sort of go your way, but still played in four, which is four more than most.
But lots of goals in finals too, Jim.
Mm, yeah, so the finals and, of course, the goal after the siren to get you into a granny.
Good record in finals.
So there's all the good stuff.
Yeah.
But then you got to
Rene Kink played in seven losing ones.
Well, that's it.
Seven.
So 198 games. So you finished, 98?
Yeah.
Yep. And then you go and see the coach, Gary Ayres, and you think, right, we'll just have one more year.
Yeah.
Just to get me to my 200th life membership, all the rest of it.
End of the year, Jim. So I went in to see Gary Ayres, and as you said, 198 games, two more, 200 club, which would have been nice.
Life membership.
Exactly.
Well, you're in the 200 club anyway, because the night games and everything else count. So you're in that.
But it would have been nice to play 200, not 198 officially.
Yeah. Yes.
But then also, I'd be good in the VFL. A senior player.
Mentoring role.
And I was good around the club. A bit of fun. Ha-ha. Have a bit of laugh. All that.
That's it. One of those sort of environmental blokes.
Yeah, just to say two more games. And wasn't on a lot of money, Jim.
No.
Probably 80 grand or something back then, which is
not a heap.
Nothing, to be honest. And by the time I got fined for drinking during the year and that, they didn't pay me much at all. But so I go and see Ayres. He's sitting there and I had an A4 page written out exactly that. You know, be good around the club. I'm happy to play in the VFL, do all that.
You like your notes, don't you?
So
you do notes.
So I sat down, had this in front of me, and Ayres goes, "We'll cut it short, Bill. we've had a chat, and we're not going to re-sign you for next year. So that's it. You're done."
It lasted that long?
Like, no, honestly, 3 minutes.
So you didn't get to the A4?
Well, he goes, "You got anything to say?" And I've got my A4. I go,
matter of fact,
I go. No, that's all right.
What did you have written on? Tell us what you had written on.
No,
what were you going to go with, Bill?
Well, all that about I'd be good in the VFL around the club and I'm happy. I know I won't play seniors all year and things like that. So, but what he did say is that we won't say we've sacked you. We'll say you can, best and fairest on Thursday night, you get up and retire. So I got up and got a bit teary. I bit my lip and retired. So I didn't actually get sacked, but I really did. So that was easy. Sacked me.
So, Bill, were you capable of going on?
When you look back, no. My ankle was shot. I was shot and all that. So you do, but back then, Duck, all we thought about, and I still think some of the boys might today, is the money. The money was quite good, and you'd want to play another year for the money.
Well, 90 grand's not a lot, Bill.
No,
well, it's all right back
then.
Coming from a bloke who was on $1 million back in 1999, though.
Exactly.
If you can get one more year out of whatever you're on, it's better than in the real world.
That's right. So I went and worked at the footy club. They did find me a job at the footy club. So I went from about 90 or 100 grand a year back to 35. But I'll tell you what doesn't stop spending.
What job was it?
It was just in the footy club in the marketing department and things like
what
that.
Were you a clerk?
No. I remember, actually, funny enough, I had a room next to Gary Ayres with Ryan, our mate, Ryan.
Well, you had your own.
Murphy.
Did you have your own desk?
Yeah, had a desk and a phone
and
all
a computer?
That.
Computer?
Didn't have a computer. No. But had a desk.
Did the phone ever ring?
No. But I used to go out and have meetings and.
Oh, yeah, so you had a briefcase?
But no. So I went from 100K to 35. Now, this is what happens when your blokes get sacked. But let me tell you, the missus and kids and school fees, they don't drop also. So they're still spending at the 100K mark. And old poor old Wilbur's on 35, busting me guts. So I had to do a few
So you had to go and do sports, some sheet work.
Sports nights, Brian, exactly, because you drop the money, but they don't stop spending.
Is that
spending.
How long you've been going with the lacquer band? 30 years?
No, early days. I used to learn off people like Brian. And
steal from Tony Shaw.
Tony Shaw, yes.
Steal story.
I used to steal stories. I'm right in my own way.
Yeah.
Who started the lacquer band? Where did that first start?
Tony Shaw.
And then blokes have I took it, and then blokes have taken it off me.
Matthew Lloyd's amended it too.
And unfunny Lordo. You imagine him trying to tell it. But it was disappointing getting sacked because you wanted to stay on, and they were great times back then. We used to train two nights a week, have a lot of fun.
You know what I find interesting though, Duck, is Brian's exactly right. You get to the end of your career. I reckon most people know they're done, but they think if I can just hold my line and winkle out another year, I'll get another 250 grand.
That's right.
So when the club then turns around and goes, no, mate, you're done, then they crack the sack. I'm like, mate, you've had 10 years of earning bloody good money and being a very good footballer. Yeah. You actually know you're finished. You're trying to just winkle one more year out. When the club says, no, you're done, why do they then get bitter on the joint?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because I reckon to play sport at the highest level in any sport, There's a certain makeup of the person. You're very competitive and everything else. So there's not too many people in our industry that actually, I think, Bill, that actually walk at the right time.
Let's be honest. And we're going to talk to one coming up, Matty Scarlett.
Yeah.
Because we all thought he could go on another year or two. Yeah. And then he sent an email to the club saying, I'm not going around this year.
But this is a man that said he was also going to walk away from footy. He'll never see me ever again. And he's become one of the very, very good assistant coaches, hasn't he?
High-profile one now down at your club. So Gary Ablett Jr. right now would be contemplating what is happening next year. Now, the temptation for him to want to go on be pretty high.
And he's had a good year.
I have this sneaking suspicion that he's going to let it go.
Retire?
And I think he could retire at the end of this year.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, I think he can go one more year.
I think he can too.
Yeah, what, Bill,
I think he can go one more year, but I think he's thinking in his own head, get out
it's
while
been
I'm in
pretty
front.
Solid. He's been, I mean, of late, not as good as what he was earlier in the year, but you would say this year has been a complete success for him playing that role. And you're right, That's you're talking about a champion of the game. Very hard for him to go. Well, if he goes that one more and doesn't reach the heights that he reached this year,
I reckon he'll retire. He's doing media at the moment. He wants to get into the media a little bit. I think that's what I'm not hearing, but that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
he's doing
a lot of
functions and stuff that we haven't seen him do previously, and it says to me that he's looking for the next opportunity in his life. So I think he's planning it, and I think he'd be smart to get out. I think he'd get out on top. He could go another 2 years if he wanted.
Well, he just had a baby and he's building a house, so I think when that happens, Brian, you do a few of those.
He might have a bit tucked away, Bill.
Extra stuff,
but I think. But also, he was supposed to be rested a lot more than I thought this year. He's played a lot of games this year. Where that Perth game's a classic example over in Freo. I thought they should have rested in them. Don't play him there and just give him a couple of weeks off, especially the interstate trips, but they haven't. So
Scott Thompson, a good example, Damo, I reckon, of leaving the game at exactly the right time.
Yeah.
He could have gone on, he's played good footy, but he's not just staggering over the line, he's playing bloody good footy.
I'd agree with that, Jim. I mean, he's passed 3 years, haven't they? Yep. I reckon in isolation, a three-year patch has been as good a three-year patch as he's had over a 13-year career.
You always worry about the ones that have next to their name. You know, precisely 200 or precisely 300. I think Foss has
301
or
303.
Yeah, and you always take a close look at those ones and go, oh, boy, they just got there.
The great Mickey Martin managed to get to 300.
At a second club.
Funnily enough, at Carlton under Dennis. And
not your
enough,
fault, Mick.
When he got to 300, he
didn't play anymore.
Just a bit sore.
Now, well, we've got Dane Zilko joining us shortly. Of course, we had Eric Hipwood.
We did. Spoke to him. Hipper. On the rush hour.
Olive oil.
And that fantastic. Rafa Nadal.
Rafi.
He looks more like olive oil.
Well, Raf, we went with Duck. No one knows
Did you know your man, Marcus Adams, who you said is actually too big to play football, has 12 eggs for breakfast?
12.
Does he? 12 eggs.
Yeah, he's gone too far with the protein.
Bristle.
He's
12.
Back off.
And Ecker.
You're not buying that.
He's big.
You're not buying that.
He's top heavy.
You just don't. No one
needs 12
eggs. 12 eggs.
12 eggs.
No one needs 12 eggs.
Imagine working them through your system.
The cholesterol levels would be up, wouldn't it?
I would have thought.
Just pathetic. I mean, why would you have 12 eggs?
Because
You can just tell that he's just loves the gym.
And yeah, so does Steph.
Eat steel.
Steph Martin's the other one. Yeah. The two of them just love looking at their own pipes.
Gym junkie.
The snakes out the back. Yes. Duck, bit like duck.
Yeah. Bill, you were impressed last week with Hamish Hartlett, weren't you, when he had the jumper ripped?
Oh, yes.
And he made sure it stayed ripped for a bit.
But what about the tats on him? Yeah. He's full of tats. He's Dane Swan-like. He's got full of tats. But no, Eka, he's still only 21 years of age.
Very good.
Very young. Going to be a very good player, Duck.
Yeah, no, he is.
Brisbane.
He's kicked some bags this year.
Yep.
Brisbane Geelong up there. So interesting, some records at the Gabba.
Well, do you know who holds a record there, Brian, for the most individual goals at the Gabba?
No, Bill.
You do, Brian.
You do.
You do.
Brian.
No, I don't.
Bill, what do you say to the record sellers at the Gabba?
10, is it?
It's 11.
11. Sorry.
No, when I go to the game sometimes.
What do you say to them,
when
Bill?
I work in the media and you walk in and the blokes, kids are selling the record.
Want a record, Bill?
They go, you want a record? I go, already got it here, mate. And they look at me like, who's that dickhead? Fair dickhead. They got no idea what I'm talking about.
That was against the Bears.
Yeah.
When they were barely
That was when they weren't kicking at the Kappa.
And that's when Geelong were kicking 270 points.
Hey, 11's 11.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter
who
where.
Who else kicked a big bag that day?
Well, Ablett probably would have got 5 or 6, and I got rid of him that day, unlike the 89.
Gavin Exel got 8 or 9.
Gavin Exel. But 11's 11. You would have thought with Jonathan Brown, Alistair Lynch, all those superstars up there, someone would have kicked more than 11.
They shared it around, Bill.
Yeah, but Bill, this was when the Bears were really, really weak. And you guys were flying, kicking big scores.
4 opponents that day. Four different ones.
I reckon they'll lose the last two, Brisbane.
John Gastavich.
Peter Curran was up there. I played on him for a while.
Yeah, so, when he was cooked at Hawthorn, he went up there.
You're saying they'll get beaten today and then by Richmond in the final round.
Yeah, I think they can slip out of the top four, can't they?
Ooh.
I think that might happen. I think that's odds on to happen.
Wow. Who's slip out of the top four?
Brisbane.
They'll get beaten by Geelong and Richmond over the next two games.
Mm. You think Geelong will win today?
Yep. And Richmond will win. And they'll slip out of the top four. You watch. Oh, you just come back to me in a couple of weeks.
Who comes in for them?
Collingwood's the only team.
I don't know. Who's
they're going to have to win, obviously, both of their games.
I think you were saying this a couple of weeks ago, BT. You
said Collingwood have got Adelaide and Essendon.
They were going to lose during a game, and they won that game convincingly.
It wasn't the real.
And you changed your mind halfway through, but you're back on that bandwagon.
Well, I'm just giving you a feel of what I feel.
What doesn't impress you? What doesn't impress you about Brisbane? Why are you not sold that they can? They can beat Geelong today.
Or just they have had an incredibly nice, fluffy draw.
You've changed your tune on this, BT, because Jim's
draw.
Been saying this all year.
They've won 8 in a row. Let me just point out the 8 in a row wins, who they're
Please
against.
Please do.
This is Brisbane's 8 in a row.
Righto.
St Kilda,
mm-hmm.
going well. Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
going real well. Port. Thereabouts.
They beat Port in Adelaide.
Good
win.
North.
Good win.
Mediocrity.
Lucky.
Hawthorn.
Good win.
Not going at the moment. Dogs weren't going.
No.
Still not going. Not going. Gold Coast. Oh, yeah. They beat Gold Coast. So there you go. There's their wins.
But what is astounding about that, Bristol, that run of games?
Not a great run of wins.
With they hit round 14, I'm
Good
pretty
draw.
Sure I'm right in saying, having played just 4 teams from the top 8 of the year before.
Yeah.
So that's to round 14. Then they've had that run approaching the finals. It has been, Damo, I said this to you at
you said it early.
The greatest draw ever handed to a club.
They have not played a top team since... Round one.
I'm saying it's
round one was the last time they played anyone that was any good.
So these two games will tell you lots. I agree.
Yep.
And they are brilliant at home and brilliant to watch at home too, which is what I think we're all
gonna
absolutely
loving.
Going
to be a hot day.
Sellout.
Hot up there. The game's sold out, and this man's a star.
I love
Won the best and fairest, I think, at least
like
three times.
Done.
Four.
Dane Zorko. Brilliant. And he joins us now, I think, on the boundary. Dane, we got you?
Yep, here, fellas.
Hey, mate, you must just be looking forward to this. Full house against the best team in the comp. It's exactly come at the right time for your team.
Yeah, absolutely. Another great opportunity for us today. And we get to welcome them to a packed-out Gabba for the second time this year, which is great.
Hey, Dane, when you're here, I don't know how long you've had the cans on, but when you hear BT say that you've played no one, is that a little bit of the motivation behind going into a game like today?
Well, you can only beat what's been put in front of you, and we've been able to do that thus far. So, you know, we'll just continue to do our process and execute it the way we have been.
What's it mean to you, Dane, having endured what you've
been through
personally and as a club have had to get through in the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, to be in this situation right now, two games remaining, potential top spot on the ladder still?
Yeah, exciting. you know, it's been a difficult period for the club over the past 7 or 8 years, but we've slowly built towards, you know, climbing our way back up the ladder, and we've had the right people in place now for 3 years, and, you know, the boys are playing their role every week, executing the game plan to the best of our abilities, and put us in a position that we are in now. So it's really exciting that, you know, we get to come to the Gabba round 22, take on the top team in front of a packed house.
There's been a lot of excitement from us down here about what lies ahead in round 23. Do you look at these two games as a package, or do you just get through today first?
1 week at a time, Damien.
Yeah, it's as simple as that, to be honest. It really is 1 week at a time. We haven't really looked any further than that. Hey, guys, how are you? So
who are you talking to?
Just shaking the umpire's hands. You're going to kick him out.
During a George Foreman.
That's how he gets the best and fairest. No, well,
they don't give him the best and fairest.
Yeah, you're spot on there. But look, honestly, we've only taken it 1 week at a time from the start of the season, and we'll continue to do that. Yes, the next 2 weeks, you know, it's a great opportunity for us, but today we're solely focused on Geelong and all the threats they possess, and hopefully we can flip the tables on that.
So the belief in the game plan, you're talking about everyone doing their roles and believing in the game plan. When did that start to rise, do you think? When do you guys think, hey, this is the right way to go?
Oh, I think after the Collingwood defeat back in round five, to be honest, and it was a bit of a, not a wake-up call, but certainly showed us areas of improvement that we needed to knuckle in on really quickly, and we were able to do that. And I think another light bulb moment was probably the Carlton game just before our bye. You can't take any team for granted in this competition. Everyone, you know, always tries their absolute best, and we weren't able to put Carlton away that day, and we learned a lot from that as well. So, you know, we know our process works. It's matched up against the best teams in the comp all year, and today's another opportunity to show, you know, our game style.
When you sit down with Fags, what Geelong have you looked at? Obviously a really good win last week against the Kangaroos at home, but their form prior to that hasn't been great. So do you go back through some of that vision, see how teams played, or do you look at more when they're playing their best footy?
Combination of the two, to be honest, Duck. We looked at the way that Hawthorn played them, and then we had a little bit of what they were able to do in North Melbourne last week. So you sort of look at about a month period as to what teams have been able to do against them, and how they've been able to beat sides. So look, their contested ball numbers and stoppages are really good, and that's an area that we've really picked up on this year as well. So yeah, you hate to say it, but I think it's going to be one loss in the midfield today.
Hey, Dane, you've got these two massive weeks and then a bit of a break and into September. Can't wait to see this young group of players actually playing finals footy. McCluggage, Answorth, Hipwood, Rayner, Witherden. They've got so much juice, but as you know, September's a different thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But a very exciting time for the club as well, and all the boys are really looking forward to that. But obviously, big job today taking on Geelong, so... we'll worry about that when we get to it, but certainly exciting times for the club ahead.
Good on you, mate. Enjoy today. It'll be fantastic.
Awesome, guys. Cheers. Yep.
Dane Zorko, star of the competition, four-time best and fairest, and he's now going to be at the sharp end of the comp as well. Getting ready for Brisbane Geelong. Massive game, 1v2. We can't wait to see the two best teams in the comp go at it. BT's here, as is Damo, Bill, yes. Wayne Carey as well. And we're getting back up to the Gabba because we talk about superstars, Bill. This man is good as the game has coughed up. And we're about to get to Matty Scarlett for McDonald's right now, by the way. Grab a small cheeseburger meal with your choice of pie for just $4 only at Macca's.
284 games, 3 premierships, 6 All Australians. 6.
There's that magical number. Again, yeah, around that 270 to 280.
And the best fullback in modern history is the Geelong champ. Kicked 17 goals along the way. Can't remember any of those. Ooh, but Matty Scarlett, welcome to Triple M, Scarlett.
Thanks, Billy.
How are we looking? Tell us about the conditions up there.
Yeah, beautiful, mate. I think it's about 27 or 28 degrees. Ooh. So it's beautiful weather. Finals like atmosphere on the drive in. Yeah, it's going to be a ripper.
Any late changes, Scarlett?
All good. Nah. As selected.
Righto.
Hey, Scarlo.
At this stage.
When did you guys get up there?
Yesterday, mate. Yeah, we got up in the afternoon and then come here for a little kick and a run around. So
I was going to say, so you have a little bit of a train. Try to acclimatise yourself to the conditions, but clearly going to be tough if it's 28 degrees.
Yeah, it is. Look, it's going to be tough for both teams. I don't think Brisbane have played in warm weather games this year, even though they do play up here a lot. It's going to be fantastic. Yeah, obviously the start's going to be really important to get that ascendancy in the middle and lock the ball in our front half.
Fairly bubbling up there, Duck, at 28 degrees, I would have thought. But what's your homework tell you on Brisbane that you fear the most?
Oh, they've got stars and future stars all over the park. And, look, they move the ball really fast into an even number forward line. They like to keep six ahead at stoppages. So if they win the stoppages and get it forward, they're kicking to really good dynamic players. They've got two tall targets. So it's their attack that is really hard to stop. So we need to be on our game defensively. But around the footy, we felt we got going last week with blitz halves in there. So we can put pressure on their defence if we win the on-ball battle.
I was going to ask that, Scarlo. The Cats a lot better last week, contest a ball from the start. So we see Blixard start in the ruck again?
Yes, yeah, he'll be in there for majority of the day with a chop out from Big Sav. So huge task for Blitz up against two big men, but yeah. We felt he was just unbelievable around the footy last week.
Mate, just with the inconsistent nature of the past 8 weeks, at least from a win-loss perspective, now that you've got to this stage of the season with two games to go, do you feel it doesn't matter that you've actually got to where you needed to get to and it just restart?
Oh, look, everyone wants to be really consistent. You want to be a consistent player and a consistent team. It's obviously really hard to do, and possibly had a couple of older guys looking ahead to this game and obviously to the finals. You get to the back half of the year when you know you're going to play finals, and it is easy to take your eye off the footy sometimes. So, look, we felt we played really good last week and a great opportunity today to play really well against a good team. So the boys are excited. It's a great time of year.
Hey, Matty, given that Blixarves has moved into the ruck earlier in the year, you had a fairly settled back line and teams now are working out how to go about getting through that back line. How have some of those challenges been for you?
Yeah, obviously we've evolved over the course of the year. Teams obviously watch a lot of footy on us and find our weaknesses as well as our strengths. So we just felt we've been a little bit tardy, I guess, around the footy. So moving Blitz into that position last week made us play the game in our half a lot more, and we're able to set up behind it. So the beauty about our back line, even with Blitz out, we've got guys that can play tall and smalls like Jack Henry and Collar and Tommy Stewart. And then Lockie Henderson's come in and performed really well, which is a massive bonus for us.
Hey, Matty, we were talking about players and retiring. A lot of players retiring at this time of the year. You're a player that got out when you wanted to get out. Yeah. You didn't get out too late. You got out at the right time, etc. What's your advice to anyone that's nearing the end of their career and it's line ball whether they should go? What was the determining factor for you?
Mate, it's different for every single player, so it's hard for me to give advice. I knew, I guess, halfway through that year, I was just struggling mentally. It was probably the first time in my life I was driving to training and sort of wishing I wasn't going to training and taking a few shortcuts with my recovery. So I knew my time was up. I was still playing okay, but I sort of lost that hunger to prepare to play well. So I knew middle of the year that my time was up. And, mate, I left the game really satisfied with what I've done. So it's really different for everyone else. So it's hard for me to give advice on what other people should do.
You surprised everyone, had another year or two. Hey, Matty, as we let you go, everyone talks about you as being that best player in that golden era of the Cats, 07, 9, 11. Who was the best player, you think? One player only, Matthew?
Oh, look, Corey Enright, who's standing pretty close to me. Obviously, I just got to see him close up each week, just the role he played for the team and just the high-pressure environment of playing in defence on great players every week. It is quite a hard job to do. I didn't see him get beat very often, and just his composure and what he'd do for the team. So, but look, Gary Jr. wasn't a bad player either. And
not bad.
Joel Corey, Bartel, Ling, there's a lot of them, mate. So I'm just saying it because he's my best mate.
Hey, speaking of Boris Enright, and you spoke about this man earlier, Scarlo, Tommy Stewart, you found him down at South Barwon. And you said, I reckon this kid's worth a go. Even when you did that, do you think he'd turn out to be as good as he has?
Look, I was confident he would. I didn't think he'd get there this quickly. Like, he's All Australian in his second year, and obviously, well, he should be a lock for his second All Australian in his third year. So, I thought it would take him a bit longer than it did. But look, he's a ripper player and an unbelievable person. Now he's one of our great leaders at the club. So, yeah, he's doing well.
Go and enjoy it, mate. Thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, guys.
On your Scarlett.
Matty Scarlett for Bob Jane T-Marts, by the way. Bob Jane T-Marts, hurry in. Buy three, get one free on selected Bridgestone, Dunlop and Hankook tyres. All right, so what are we all thinking here as we get ready to hand up to the guys in Brisbane? Are we all thinking the Lions, Duck, you are?
I'm going with the Lions. And I know it's not bubbling, Brian, but 28 degrees is
barely
hot.
It's barely hot.
Well, yeah. I tell you what, it's a lot warmer than 12 or 10 down at Geelong.
I'm going with the Cats, but I still like Brisbane. But
you said they're going to be out of the top four.
Yeah, but I still like them. And I reckon Fagan has done an incredible job.
Yeah, he has.
And they, even if they finish eighth, they've done an incredible job.
Homo?
they can miss the next two games, BT, and still finish in the top four because their percentage is nicely ahead of Collingwood at this stage. Just just with Ducks just with Ducks bubbling.
Just said they were going to lose the next two. And I said, could they possibly drop out of the top four?
I think you've stolen Jim's opinion on this topic, by the way.
I never listen to you, so why would I need anyone else?
I didn't say me. I said Jim.
Counterpuncher.
Who do you think is winning the game?
I think Brisbane Lions will win the game.
In fact, you're convinced it'll be the Cats?
No, I'm not convinced. I think it'll be a very good game. But the Cats were good signs last week, and they've just got to build on that.
And some of the best counterpunchers have won big world titles. You know that?
Did you agree with the ranking of the top 10 boxers, by the way, that came out during the week? Did you see that?
Ludicrous.
The most ridiculous thing. How's Sugar Ray Leonard not even in the top 10?
Ali.
Farcical.
Ali on top.
Was Hagler in?
No, he wasn't. Marvis Marlin wasn't.
Wasn't.
It was Tommy Hearns.
Do you agree with Mayweather?
Yeah, I think you can't win, loss. But there were some that weren't in there that had to be.
Tyson wasn't in it.
Not in there. Tell us about, quickly, Richmond, West Coast.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go for a little bit of an upset. I think they're the underdog because it's at the MCG. I think West Coast will be a little bit strong. I think they control the air. Two different contrasting styles.
Major upset.
Richmond like to surge the ball forward. West Coast dominate the air. I think they'll dominate the air and they'll get a close win. And this, we're watching the grand final tomorrow.
Right. No Nankervis. He pulled out, of course, Toby.
And that's a big
Nanker.
Nanker.
So
that's a big
Bristol's
out.
Man, Nank.
I'll go with Richmond.
So have they got Ivan Soldo or Mubby or Choles?
No.
Choles in and Choles Soldo's in. Come and back Soldo's in come for Nankervis. Right,
yeah. Are you sure? Isn't it Bolter?
So who have you gone?
I thought Noah Bolter.
So who do you think?
I like Tigers. I think they're playing good football.
Well, have you got an opinion, Brian?
Well, yeah. I'm going to counter you and I'm going to go to the Tigers and we'll just see next time we meet.
Well, I can't wait for us to have the Tigers and for you to do a roaming Brian.
If you had a punch on,
we
might get him in the ring here, Jim.
I'll tell you, this happens every year because Duck and Bristle have to spend a lot of time.
Too much time.
And they get to the end of August and it starts to fracture in a major way.
And they go and do some cashies together as well.
I love it. All right, well done, boys. Go and enjoy the rest of your Saturday. We are heading after this up to Brisbane. Can't wait. The Lions taking on the Cats at the Gabba. This has been the preview for Coates Hire, by the way, 13-15-52. Let's make it happen. And for McDonald's, Triple M Rocks.